Unbinding is the act of saying no to one thing so that you can say yes to something else. Unbinding a drawer, for example, is a way of saying no to its closure and yes to its opening. Unbinding our minds is a way of saying no to our stagnation intellectually and yes to our expansion. And in the context of our life together as a congregation, unbinding the Holy Spirit is a way of saying no to perhaps what is the hardest thing to say no to. Saying no to control and yes to the uncomfortably unpredictable gospel. The past few weeks, we've been working our way through a sermon series titled Spiritual Toolbox. And over the past few weeks, we have identified a few spiritual tools. First, we identified the tool of standing together in community. We've identified the tool of proclaiming hope into the world. And we identified last time the tool of koinonia, the deepest, most mutually indwelling form of community that there is. This week, we add the tool of unbinding the Holy Spirit to our toolboxes. And it has been my prayer all along that we will combine these tools along with the growing fire in our bellies, that together we might have God help us to turn this new normal into a better version of the old normal. Let us pray. Loving God, we pause to open up our hearts, to open up our minds, to open up your word, that we might hear the gospel, that we might grow spiritually, and that we might be more and more the people of hope you call us to be. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. In the early days after Christ's ascension, when he left his followers, they struggled to learn how to be Christ's hands and feet and voices in the world. Their work was complicated by the fact that they were being persecuted by external groups. They were experiencing internal theological divisions. And it was exacerbated, too, by just the general tenuousness of their life as followers of Jesus Christ. Still, though, despite all of these challenges, they were doing it. They were persisting. They were finding ways to be Christ's hands and feet and voices in the world. They were being Christ's hands and feet by feeding and caring and healing and serving the people. They were being Christ's voice by proclaiming hope into the world. They were doing that work, and the result was a gospel spreading and a church growing. As the story continues in Acts chapter 6, we see an episode in the early church that threatened to halt the growth of the church, but also undermined its very existence. So here's the setup. Luke tells us in chapter 6 that there was a meal program put on by the church for the economically vulnerable widows in their community. But here's the problem, that in those daily distributions, the Hebrew-speaking widows were getting their food, but the Greek-speaking widows were being overlooked in the daily distributions. There's a big problem, but easily solved, right, you might think. Just grab some more people to oversee the meal program, and boom, you're done. The problem was is that the system they had in place, the leadership structure that they had, was really focused and centered around the 12 original disciples of Jesus Christ, the inner core around Jesus. And if they were to take hands away from those 12, then their work of proclaiming the gospel into the world would be diminished, and they would stop the spread of the gospel and stop the growth of the church, which was a problem. On the other hand, if they kept on at current levels and spent their time proclaiming the gospel while the Greek-speaking widows were not being fed, then they would be accused and guilty of callousness, of injustice, even racism, and of being so heavenly minded they were no earthly good at all. What to do, what to do, what to do? So Luke tells us in verse 3 of chapter 6 that the leadership got together and they identified seven leaders in the church, not the 12, but some other seven leaders that were Greek-speaking, who were filled with wisdom and the Holy Spirit, Luke tells us, and they were charged with overseeing the meal program to the widows so that the disciples, the original 12, could go and continue to spread the gospel. Now, Luke doesn't make a really big deal about this, just gives us one sentence of this elegant and practical solution. But let's not lull that into letting us think that this was not a big deal, because it was a really big deal. It was a big deal because for the first time, the core leadership of the 12 was being expanded, opening for a diversity of language and of race and of just general diversity. It was a big deal because that meant that the original 12 who were closest to Jesus and carriers of Jesus' message, they were losing some power and some control. And it was a very big deal because in that important moment, the church was choosing to unbind the Spirit, to say no to some things that had been working but were no longer working, so that they might say yes to a new leadership structure that would allow the people to be fed and to allow the gospel and the church to grow and spread. And the result of that unbinding of the Holy Spirit, Luke is proud to tell us in verse 7, was that the widows were fed. The gospel was proclaimed, the disciples were made, and the church continued to grow. And the result of all of that was a whole lot of good gospel stuff. It's a great story. It's a wonderful story. And on this beautiful Sunday, sitting wherever you are, maybe at home, maybe somewhere else, and hearing this story, we can glean it for some wisdom and some good principles for us to ponder. Maybe we should ponder those sometime. Maybe we should ponder and enact those someday. But here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I have a sense of urgency these days brought about by virus. And so the time to ponder and to enact is not tomorrow and not some point down the future someday, but the time to ponder and to enact is right here and right now. As we do that, though, as we move from 10,000 feet in the air, from a story that happened 2,000 years ago, way over in Jerusalem, when we bring that closer to home, to Shalott or Shelburne or Hinesburg or North Ferrisburg or wherever you happen to be in your community, that as we bring that closer to home, it starts to raise some very uncomfortable questions for us to ask. I wonder, right in our very own communities, who the Greek-speaking widows are. Try as we might to minister and to heal and to feed and to care for one another, I wonder who is being overlooked in our daily distributions and why are they being overlooked? Is it because they're different? They look different? They speak differently? They think differently than us? Who are the Greek-speaking widows, and why are they being overlooked? Along with that, I wonder too about our staff at this church and our many volunteers, you. I wonder, as we identify these Greek-speaking widows and those who are being overlooked in the daily distributions, I wonder, will we have the time and the energy and the vision and the flexibility that we need to reach out to them and to meet those needs with hope and with peace and with grace and with love? I wonder, I really do, if we will find a way as a congregation to unbind the Holy Spirit, to say no, perhaps, to some of our power and control like the followers did 2,000 years ago, to find a way to say no, what had been working but maybe is no longer working or not working in the time of COVID-19. What are those things we need to say no to that we might say yes to the uncomfortably unpredictable gospel? So I wonder all those things, and I wonder if we will find a way to unbind the Spirit. Even as I say that, though, I will say this, that I've been around here long enough, and I think I know you well enough and you know me well enough that we might trust one another to say, yes, we will unbind the Spirit. Yes, we'll have a way to find a way to give up some of our power, some of our control, some of our rituals, some of our traditions, even those beloved ones that are hard to let go, that we will find a way to unbind the Holy Spirit, to say no to some of those things, that we can say yes to the movements of the Holy Spirit, yes to the Greek-speaking widows, and yes to all of those ministry needs and opportunities that are around us, especially those brought up due to virus. So yes, I trust that we will find a way to unbind the Spirit. May it be so in Christ's name and for the life of the whole world. I'll end with this. We will conclude this sermon series next week by looking at the story of Acts chapter 1 and Jesus' ascension, where he also gives the church a great mission statement. We will mine that story for yet another spiritual tool that we might combine with the other tools and the fire in our bellies to help God help us to turn this new normal into a better version of the old normal. Amen.